We give you the praise and the honor for this moment. We ask that your name be glorified. Thank you. Prepare us as sanctuaries. We will never remain the same after this conference. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap of hand as you take your seat. I want to appreciate my Father for this opportunity one more time. And I appreciate the very, very intense word we have heard this morning. Two things. First, when Papa has spoken, you wonder what is there next to say. And second, the words are so hard that when anybody comes here, he has two choices. Either to change and remain or to evaporate permanently. And we have seen a lot of people who have come around and struggled for a while, but they realize that its sayings are so hard. Thank you, sir, for the hardness of those sayings that has produced very, very strong ministries to our generation. I'll be continuing from where he has spoken on the subject of spirituality, a covenant platform for exploit. Spirituality, a covenant platform for exploit. Romans chapter 12, verse 11, the Bible said, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. It is important to know that the spiritual always sets the pace for everything about man's life and destiny. The spiritual sets the pace. As goes the spiritual, so goes the life, the destiny, and the ministry of man. It's important to note that the limit of spirituality is the limit of impact, is the limit of exploit in life, in destiny, in ministry. Nobody can exact an impact or generate exploits higher than their level of spirituality. I'm giving some examples in scripture. Number one, Abraham. Abraham was a man who moved as at God's command in Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1 to verse 5. Abraham was the man who got up early in the morning to stand before God in Genesis chapter 19 and in verse 27. Abraham was the man that God spoke and said, I know him. He will command his children and his household after him. This Abraham in Genesis 18:19 became the determinant of the destiny of two nations, Sodom and Gomorrah. He became the father and the founder of nations. The nation of Israel, the nation of the Ishmaelites, the nation of the Midianites, by virtue of his deep spirituality. You move on to Moses. Moses was the man who stood before God for 40 days twice, seeking the face of the Lord. He was the man who wished himself accursed if God will not save Israel. In Exodus chapter 32 and in verse 32, if you will not forgive them their sins, blot my name from your book. Moses was the one who said to God, if your presence does not go with me, don't take me from here. 33 of Exodus verse 15. Moses was the one who said to God, I beseech you, show me your glory. In Exodus chapter 33 and in verse 18. This was the deeply spiritual person who could be entrusted with the destiny of a nation, the destiny of a generation. Your level of spirituality is the determinant of what God can entrust into your hands. We look at that in Moses and then move to Samuel. Samuel was the one whose word never fell to the ground. Samuel was the man who said in 1 Samuel chapter 12 and in verse 23, he said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. That man considered it a sin not to pray for the congregation. He considered it a sin not to teach them. That was the depth of his spirituality. No wonder he pastored the whole nation of Israel. No wonder when he arrived in the house of Jesse to anoint a king in 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 14, the Bible said the elders of the land trembled. There are people who arrive in a city and the city trembles and the nation shakes. It was the depth of his spirituality that was able to occasion that. Now move to number four, for example, Elijah. Elijah was a man I would call very brutal, hyper-spiritual man. A man of passion, a man of prayer. He maintained a permanent stand with God. In 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 1, he said, before God whom I stand. In James chapter 5 and in verse 17 and in verse 18, Elijah was a man of like passion as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain. That was the kind of man Elijah was. He permanently operated at the frequency of fire. He could cut fire down at will. And what was the outcome of that impact? He led a whole nation to God at once in one day. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 38 to verse 39, after he said, why do you limp between two opinions, and so forth, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And the outcome was, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. There is someone here today. I believe that the Lord will use you shortly to lead the whole of your community, the whole of your nation, the whole of your city to God at once. If you are that one, you will say a louder amen. There are those who struggle to lead individuals to Christ. But here was a man who led the nation to God in one day at the frequency of spirituality. You move from there, you go to Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle was the man who prayed in tongues
more than the whole of the Corinthian church put together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and in verse 18, Paul the apostle said, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than all of you put together. The whole of the church of the Corinth, all of you put your tongues together. I pray in tongues more than you all. Paul the apostle was the man who spoke and said, necessity is laid on me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 16. And he said, yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Paul the apostle was a man in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18. Who said, praying always with all prayer and supplication. He was telling us his experience. That he prayed always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. And he watched with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Paul, the one who told us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 17, to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Paul the apostle told us again in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 27, in fastings often. We are dealing with a deeply spiritual man. A man after 33 years of ministry, in Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 10, he was still saying that I may know him. That I may know him. Many people arrive after 5 years. Some arrive after 10 years. Some arrive after 25 years. Some arrive after a short years. After 33 solid years. Paul was still crying. And he said, oh Lord, I don't know you. There is a dimension of you I don't know. People may be clapping for me that I am an expert. But I don't know you yet. Handkerchiefs left my body. They heal the sick. I have planted several churches, but I don't know you yet. But I need to know you now. I need to know the power of your resurrection. I need to know the fellowship of your suffering. Is somebody here like that this afternoon? Paul the apostle was the one who said in Philippians chapter 1 verse 21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If it is not for Christ, life is a waste. If I am not living to Christ, for Christ, there is no use to be alive. Paul the apostle was the one who said in Galatians chapter 2 and in verse 20, he said, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That was Paul the apostle. What kind of impact did he generate by that level of spirituality? His impact was only second to the impact of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. There was none other person that was more impactful than Paul the Apostle in the whole of the New Testament, except Jesus himself. He wrote half of the New Testament and left the remaining half for 11 apostles. That was the level of his impact. He came to a point where he was worshipped as a god. In Acts chapter 14 and in verse 11, the gods have come to us in the likeness of men. He came to a point where he came for a program and the whole city came out. In Acts chapter 13 and in verse 44, the whole of the city came out. The Bible said, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Beloved brothers and sisters, I want us to rise in the realm of spirituality. Not rise up now. I want us to make up our mind to shift our spiritual level to another level, because we have not seen anything yet. I perceive a revival coming in the spirit of somebody. A revival coming upon a congregation. A revival coming upon a city. A revival coming upon a nation as a result of this conference. You believe in that? Shout the loudest, say amen. Let me define what spirituality is all about. When we are talking about spirituality, what is it all about? When we said spirituality is a covenant platform for exploits. Number one, spirituality is a state of spiritual intensity, fervency, and buoyancy. Spiritual intensity, intense spiritually. It is what I will call a consistently constant spiritual temperature. where a person's spiritual temperature is consistently constant. Like Romans chapter 12 verse 11 said, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. A state of spiritual intensity, a state of spiritual fervency, a state of spiritual buoyancy. Number two, spirituality is the dominance of the spirit over every department of life. Where your spirit is dominating every department of life. The spirit is awake. The spirit is alert. The spirit is aglow. The dominance of the spirit over every department of life. The dominance of the spirit over every department of life. Number three, spirituality is the consistency of spiritual responsibility. The consistency of spiritual responsibility, spiritual exercises, the consistency of spiritual responsibility and spiritual exercises without external supervision or coercion. Nobody is supervising you to pray. Nobody is supervising you to fast. Nobody is putting you under pressure to go out on evangelism. A consistency of spirituality, of spiritual responsibility and exercises without external supervision or coercion. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 17, he said, pray without ceasing. The only thing the body does without ceasing is the beating of the heart. And the heart beats by itself. It is not under external control. There is something they call the sinoatrial node that gives the heart what they call automatic rhythmicity. It just beats by itself on its own. It continues to beat throughout life. That is what God is saying about our spirituality. Where there is an automaticity to your spirituality. There is no pressure. There is no coercion. There is no supervision. Nobody is putting you under pressure. Is God speaking to somebody here at all? Spirituality is the consistency of spiritual responsibility and exercises. Number four, spirituality is existence with spiritual momentum, excitement and optimism. Spiritual momentum, spiritual excitement, optimism. That is no dull spiritual moment. If you want to find the example of what I'm talking about, just look at our Father in the Lord. No dull spiritual moment. No dull spiritual moment. There is existence with momentum. Existence with excitement. Existence with optimism. That is, you are moving like a bulldozer that has no break. That is unstoppable, irresistible. Nothing is reducing your prayer life. Nothing is reducing your study of the word. Nothing is reducing anything. I believe that that fire is coming upon somebody, even someone watching all across the world, in the name of Jesus Christ. Number five, spirituality is elevating the spiritual above the carnal. He just told us about channeling our faith to spiritual things. Elevating the spiritual above the carnal. The eternal above the temporal. The spiritual above the carnal. The eternal above the temporal. The heavenly above the earthly. Elevating the spiritual above the carnal. Elevating the eternal above the temporal. Elevating the heavenly above the earthly. In Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 1, the Bible says, if we are risen with Christ, we should seek the things that are above. Where we are redirecting our effort, not just on what to drive, where to live, and how to live, but on the things that are above. And finally, number 6, spirituality is the maintenance of spiritual charge, the permanent maintenance of spiritual charge, remaining highly charged up to take charge, being charged up permanently to be permanently in charge, being charged up permanently to be permanently in charge. Is God speaking to anybody here? Our Father and the Lord said, when you charge up, you take charge. You see, I told this story some time ago when I went to the East Africa for a program and then went to the wildlife park. And then we came across some lions and the tour guy told me something and I will never forget that. He said, once in a while, the lion comes out of the forest and he roars like once in 5 hours and once in 8 hours in his domain. He would just, wah! and just roars like that. And I asked him, I said, what is the meaning of the roaring? Did anybody offend it? No. Did he see a pre? No. He says it's a regular schedule between 5 to 8 hours. He comes to roar for territorial maintenance. For territorial maintenance, to just let every devil know, every jackal know, every bingo, every dingo, every tiger, every lion, every tiger, every hyena know that somebody is in charge here. A king is in charge here. Beloved brothers and sisters, once in a while, you need to rise up and roar in your city, and roar in the territory, and roar in your vicinity, and roar it so that the witches and wizards can know you are still there, so that the occultic powers can know you are still there, so that the powers of the bondwoman can know you are still there. Can somebody roar in the spirit a little bit? Shada. Ikeke bagarahasha. Ikeke keke peke keko barahasha. You roar yourself. You make the pastoral team to roar, the prayer band to roar, and the church as a whole to roar, to let the devil know we are in charge here. We are still here. Is God speaking to anybody here? Shout the loudest. Amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. I will never forget that. I will never forget that. You just charge to maintain territory. Charge to let the devil know you are still here. This is the major challenge of our generation. There is such a watered down psychedelic spirituality that has boiled down almost to motivational spirituality. It's a synthetic spirituality, a plastic spirituality, a plastic Christianity, and it is responsible for the defeat in most of the church in the world today. The reason why churches have not taken over as we should is because we need a level of spirituality that the people of the old had. I read about a man called Girolamo Savonarola of Italy, Florence in Italy. This man operated with the voice of thunder. I heard that he would hold service by 8 a.m. and by 4 a.m. the place was already jammed for an 8 a.m. service. He was in Florence in Italy. That town had a population of 14,000 people. But 14,500 people came for service. The meaning of that is that the whole town has come and then people have come from another town. Is God speaking to somebody here? That is raw, practical fire. When John Wesley was kicked out of the Church of England, he planted the pulpit on his father's graveyard. He planted the pulpit on his father's tomb. And the people gathered and met him at the tomb. And the British Prime Minister asked him that people are struggling to go to church and you are at the graveyard and people are gathering to meet you there. What is your secret? He said to them, I set myself on fire. And people come to watch the burning bush. They come to watch me burn. I set myself on fire. How many of you know that nobody prints handbill when a car is burning? When a house is on fire? You don't print a handbill to say, come and see a house is burning. Come and see a car burning. The crowd arrives without invitation, wherever the fire is. If you can set yourself on fire and set that church on fire for God, I tell you in the name of Jesus, the crowd will beg to come. I prophesy to somebody here, a fresh level of fire is coming upon your life and upon your ministry in the name of Jesus. John Knox said, give me Scotland or I die. When last did you pray that? Our Father in the Lord said, Lord, I'm not asking for money. I need 1,000 souls this week. I need 1,000 souls this month. When was the last time you prayed a prayer that was kingdom centered? Give me Scotland or I die. And then what did God do in response to that prayer? The Queen of Scotland, the Queen Mary, said, I fear the prayer of John Knox more than the army of Scotland. By the reason of his prayer, he banished the corrupt regime of that queen until the whole of Scottish people knocked at his door that they wanted to give their lives to Christ. Beloved brothers and sisters, God is looking for men with primitive apostolic fire. People with primitive spirituality. The ancient kind of spirituality. And I see it engulfing somebody here today. The level of work that those who went ahead of us have done. Spiritual work. Now, how do you feel seeing all these things? I don't know how you feel seeing all those documents. Side by side with pastoring. Side by side with everything going on at the same time. Our generation of people are not ready for any work. I have a good car. I have a good house. I have chauffeur-driven vehicle. I have a couple of policemen as escort. Then I have arrived. That was not what Billy Graham called success. Success for Billy Graham was 88 days of crusade at Wembley Stadium in 1968. 88 days, 2 days less than 90 days. Every night, until Wembley Stadium became the overflow. The crowd was outside there. Oral Roberts, the same thing. Those are the kind of things that those people call success. Maurice Cerullo once told me he had a crusade in Brazil and the crusade lasted for weeks. He said for the first, I don't know how many days now, that while the crusade was going on, he was not eating and he was still preaching. He was not eating and he was still preaching. He was not eating and he was still preaching. That was the level of spirituality that the people of old had that produced the kind of result that is lasting. I prophesy to somebody, a new wave of fire is coming upon your life. A new wave of fire is coming upon your life. If you believe in that, say aloud, amen. One day, please take your seat. One day, I told our church, I said, we're going to wait on the Lord. How many days? Minimum of 90 days. According to the direction of the Lord. And we are going to meet every day. 90 days. Not just every day. 3 times a day. For as many as can make it. 6 a.m., 12 noon, and 6 p.m. For 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. By the time those days were over, it was a shift in every realm. Spiritually, it was a shift in every realm. Now, what beyond that, my wife came one day and said, what are you going to have? I said, I feel a burden to pray and to fast. She said, for how long? I said, I don't know, but I'm going to start. She said, I will go with you. You know, there is something that they used to call prayer burden and fasting burden that has died now. Where suddenly you feel a load. You feel a weight. You are in the midst of people. But suddenly you feel the need to step aside. And to just step into the closet. And to just do some spiritual work. It's died now. Now everybody is sitting and chatting away and just television permanently and everything. There is something called a fasting burden too. Where you wake up in the morning, you didn't feel like eating. You didn't plan to fast, but appetite is not there. You don't force yourself to eat because food is available. No. You follow that leading. So I told my wife, I am not feeling like it. It's okay. I'll go with you. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 10 days, 30 days, 40 days. Now, breaking at the time of the day, towards the evening. 40 days, 6 months, 1 year. Journey was still on. 1 year, 1 month, 1 year, 2 months, 1 year, 3 months, 1 year, 4 months. Almost up over 500 days. Before, by the time that weight was lifted, it was impossible for anything to remain the same. Some people ask, they say, how do you prepare for meetings and for crusades? Healing service every week? Crusade is happening here, and another crusade over there, and then church service is on, all messages are different.
How are you doing it? There has been a wiring.
Plus continuous, consistent preparation. John Gillick said, somebody said, how many times, how long do you pray? He said, well, I can't define my prayer limit now, but I pray as I run and I run as I pray. Everything is prayer and prayer is everything. You see, that passion, that burden, I believe God is calling us into a realm of burden, a realm of passion, a realm of authentic spirituality that will change our lives. If you believe God is doing that for you, say a louder amen. Very, very quickly in rounding off, what are the pillars of spirituality? I will round off with that very quickly. Number one is passion for God. If they say somebody is spiritual, what pillars? One, passion for God. Psalm 63 verse 1 to 2, our Papa quoted that. Eli, will I seek you, my flesh longeth for you. Number two is, now, passion for God. Number two, desperation for the best of God. The best of God. Everything God has, that I may know him, Philippians 3:10, and the power of his resurrection, the best of God. I am desperate for anything God has. I refuse to have anything less than what God has for me. Desperation for the best of God. Number three, submission of personal will and agenda to the will and agenda of God. When you come to that point where you have submitted your personal will, your personal agenda to the will and the agenda of God. Lord, not my will. Let me want what you want, oh my dear Lord. Oh Lord, take me to the place where I have no will that is separate from your will. Take me to that place where I have no choice that is separate from your choice. The submission of personal will and agenda to the will of God. Number four, addiction to the presence of God. Addiction is a component of our spirituality. Addiction to the presence of God in prayer, in worship. You are addicted. You just want to remain with God. Psalm 42 verse 1 to 2 told us, as the deer pass after the water brooks, my soul pants after God. Addiction to the presence of God. Addiction. So we have passion for God, number one. Desperation for the best of God, number two. Submission of personal will and agenda to the will and agenda of God, number three. Addiction to the presence of God, number four. Number five is connection to God in consistent prayer and fasting. Connection to God is part of our pillar of spirituality. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Connection to God. Connection to God in consistent prayer and fasting. Number six is addiction to the word of God. To the word of God. Job chapter 23 verse 12 said, I have esteemed the word of his mouth more than my necessary food. The word of God. Addiction to the word of God is a pillar of our spirituality. Number seven, alignment with the commandment of God. God said it, you did it. Alignment with the commandment of God. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 1 to 2. If you'll hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God. Alignment, 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 alignment with his commandment. And number eight, commitment to his assignment with excitement. Commitment to his assignment with excitement. Commitment to his assignment with excitement. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:16. Beloved, these are pillars of spirituality. Prophet of spirituality, I don't have the time, but the summary is the prophet of spirituality, when you are spiritually intense, you command authority. You command authority. You walk in sensitivity. You are spiritually sharp and sensitive. You command authority. You walk in sensitivity. You maintain victory over the adversary. You command territories. You command followership. Authority, sensitivity, victory over the adversary, territorial control and command, followership command. You don't beg. The people came to David and said, become our king. access to the realm of possibilities. All things become possible in that realm of spirituality. And of course, prosperity, when the covenant practices are in place. He's, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. That was the testimony of King Uzziah in 2 Chronicles 26 and in verse 5 and Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything shall be added. Something is breaking forth in somebody's life. How many of you can sense a new level of fire and a new level of impact? Stand up on your feet and lift up your hands and lift up your voice and just pray in the Spirit for 2 seconds. Pray in the Spirit for 2 seconds. Pray in the Spirit. Go ahead and pray. Father, a new level of fire. A new level of fire. I receive that new level in Jesus' name. It is done. Give the Lord a big clap of hand. Help me shake hands with 3 people. Tell them, welcome to a new level of fire. A new level of fire. A new level of fire. A new level of fire.
You are the love of my life. You are the hope that I cling to. You mean more than this world to me. I wouldn't trade you for silver.